Ladies and gentlemen, you are about to witness some scenes from the next attraction to play this theater. This picture, truly one of the most unusual ever filmed, contains scenes which under no circumstances should be viewed by anyone with a heart condition or anyone who is easily upset. We urgently recommend that if you are such a person or the parent of a young or impressionable child now in attendance, that you and the child leave the auditorium for the next 90 seconds.
Greetings, my friends, and welcome to another episode of the Video Nasty Project, the show that takes you through all 39 banned horror movies in the UK in the 80s. Tonight's episode, we're taking a look at a movie by Luigi Bazzella, our very first Nazi exploitation movie. Tonight's episode is all about The Beast in Heat. Buckle your seatbelts, kids. This one's gonna be real rough. Check out the trailer.
I'm certain that my creature will give you a demonstration of its virility that no human being could be capable of imagining. I only want you to experience a moment of intense pleasure. Lieutenant Helen Crash of General Command.
I am a human being and can only deplore what you're doing here to these poor creatures.
And you, how do you find the experiment?
Excellent. I think you're a genius. You're wonderful, Dr. Crash.
I can't wait to see your methods.
Do you find me more exciting?
You're just a bitch on heat.
So we just saw The Beast in Heat. Why don't you talk us through it a little bit?
Okay, so this doctor, she's like this Ilsa kind of Wolf of the Republic.
Basically, yeah, Nazi she was type. Ilsa the She Wolf of the SS.
She's experimenting with this serum to turn normal people into sex crazed maniacs, who also like to apparently bite their victims in heat of passion. They're very sadistic, and they have this one.
Well,
very...
you keep saying they. She has one experiment.
I'm getting to that. It's like Captain America. You know, the Nazis wanted to create more than one, but they never got the chance. So they get this really short, really
Nazis
ugly.
Nazis wanted to create Captain America.
That's not right.
You're right. You're absolutely right. So they create this sex-crazed maniac who proceeds to rape this woman to death.
Yeah, pretty much that's their plan, is they create a Neanderthal, shoot them up with some sort of aphrodisiac, and then proceed to fuck women to death.
Yep.
And that's the movie.
God knows why. And so basically what happens is the Italian resistance blows up a tunnel full of Nazis.
Not just the Italian resistance. That was, in fact, Italian Charles Bronson. So Italian Charles Bronson goes and blows up the bridge, and he pretty much leads the resistance in this secondary movie. The movie is pretty much, you have Ilsa creating her Neanderthal and subjecting Jewish, presumably, women to torture and rape and murderous gerbils. And then you have Charles Bronson leading the resistance, blowing up Nazi shit and generally fucking Nazi shit up.
Yeah.
And two movies. It's schizophrenic.
And the two movies never really intertwine until the very end when Charles Bronson busts in on Ilsa's lab, gets the girl that the Beast is currently raping to death, and throws Ilsa into the cage, and then the Beast fucks her to death, and then they shoot them all. And then they leave, and then as he's coming out clutching one of his wounded soldiers, no, it was a wounded child, walking up the hill, and then a Nazi plane drops a bomb and blows Italian Charles Bronson up. The end.
Yes, and this movie has cheaply done battle scenes, including some really cheaply done aerial plane shots, obviously using models. And it just reminds me of Your Hundred in the Future.
Really badly spliced in stock footage.
It's the director's previous war film, thus completely bringing to mind the fact these are, in fact, two entirely different movies.
Although, to be fair to the director's credit, which he took the old footage, found the actors that were in that old footage, mm-hmm. and then hired the actors on to be in his movie so that the blend was more seamless, or as seamless as you could with completely different film grain and his
the terrain was different from stock footage.
The day and night shooting was the stock footage was day. They were kind of at dusk. It didn't match at all.
And the old footage was washed out, and the current stuff was very well color balanced for what they had the money to do.
Yeah, it's like every single time they did it, you're like, yeah, I can so tell.
Okay, my problem with this movie, and it's a medium-sized one, is it's called The Beast in Heat. But how much of The Beast do we actually get? Maybe 15 minutes total of this guy on screen, if that. Right. You know, and it's all him raping
women. Poor women.
And they never really explain they don't necessarily have to explain where he's from or why they're doing what they do, but I would have liked more
about the experiment. What's the experiment? Yes. What are they doing?
How
long do the effects of this stuff last? It would have been interesting to see
who was the Beast before.
Yeah, what he was, who or what he was before, whether the effects wear off, and does he feel remorse for what he's done? You know, is he somebody that enjoys doing this, or is he somebody who was just completely mindless and that made him more of who he already is? And, you know, his death was meaningless because his role in this movie was essentially meaningless, considering how very little time they devoted to him and the experiment.
Well, he was just there purely to titillate. Yeah. To, oh my God, I've got naked man raping naked women to death. Yay.
Yeah, it was an excuse just to have that title on this film.
Now, admittedly, the actor in question was... He really got into his role. He was very enthusiastic about it.
The dude looks like a Neanderthal. I mean,
five foot two and wide and
hairy.
Really just, he looks ancient.
He looks primal. But
he's really popular, though. I mean, they gave him a lot of roles in his lifetime.
He was very energetic and seemed...
My God
in
Himmel, the man was just chewing the scenery like nobody's business. Well, I mean, he was
the scenery wasn't
the
only thing he was chewing.
No shit. Ew.
But, it's like they really needed to expand the movie in one way or the other. If they had just gone with the war movie, I would have been perfectly happy with that. It was moderately interesting. Or if they'd gone with the Beast aspect of it and expanded that out, it was really two stories... running parallel.
Yes, exactly. If you took out the Neanderthal fuck machine and the sadistic Nazi lesbian and focused on the resistance fighters, it would have been a much stronger flick. It's not that bad a movie if you just focused on one or the other.
Yeah, but they were torn in two different directions.
And all they wanted to do was titillate.
Yeah.
They had no desire to make it more than just... Well, yeah, I mean, it was very clearly he was a hired gun. Come in. I want this done by Tuesday. Boom, done. Mm-hmm. You know, we got 8 days to shoot. Let's go.
And they had some fairly attractive women in here who were subjected to some of the most sickening stuff. It was sprinkled throughout. But, and the idea of having, people be test subjects is nothing new in movies of this sort, especially Nazi experimentation movies, of which there are a lot.
Yeah.
It's its own genre. But they really go overboard with this. I mean, the rape scenes just go on and on and
torture.
Holy shit. I mean, for like minutes at a time, you know, and the endless screaming, it's like a damn Jess Franco film, for God's sake.
And the funny thing is, the torture isn't convincing. The you've got the woman being tortured by, they've got a hot bucket on a metal bucket on her chest with rats underneath, and they've got a fire on it, so that in theory the fire, it agitates the rats, and so they start trying to get out the only way they can through your torso. Then they yank the bucket off, and it's gerbils.
And then the rape scenes themselves, for a large part, aren't very convincing either, mainly because the actor playing the Beast is obviously doing his best not to, you know, do anything untoward with his co-stars, you know, when he's doing these sex scenes. So he's straddling these women a lot of the time.
Yeah, his cock's all floppy and he generally not rapey.
And he gets in the saddle a few times, you know, like a bunch, and he's obviously being classy about it. This guy's a pro. He knows what he's doing. So he's basically doing it so that he's not gonna hurt his co-stars. But that said, that makes it unrealistic when it comes to standard sex, because it's clear that he's not actually getting it in a lot of the time.
There were so many things that were just misogynistic and nasty about all of that. At least there were equal opportunity torture.
I was about to say, in fact, you get men hanging from their feet in the torture chamber of Ilsa, you know, and he's all, you know, naked, and they're just flogging his dick. So both genders get equally horrible treatment.
Yeah, they get naked. I mean, everybody's getting it. It's an equal opportunity kind of movie, you know. But I think in general, if I was a woman back in the mid '80s in England when this was happening, I definitely would have obsessed over the rape scenes, because they were so exploitive and took so long and took center stage and all the other stuff going on here, that it would have just been like, oh God, when the hell does it end already? You know, it's just one of those situations where I think less is more.
Yeah.
All things in moderation. And this just is an exercise in the exact opposite.
Well, like the scene where the soldiers raped that poor woman. They cut away.
Which is sometimes more upsetting, because your mind makes up worse stuff than what's going on. And when you see the sex scenes in this movie, it's nothing really to write home about, except in the one scene where this prostitute is having her way with the Nazi commandant. In his Schloss, or whatever, not Schloss, but in his house.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's fairly sexy, because they're both into it.
Yeah.
You know, they're both going at it in a way that is almost like watching porn, except without the penetration. I was actually turned on by that. Just that. Everything else was kind of like, no. You know, this one woman's being tortured by having electrodes hooked up to her vag in a way that leaves nothing to the imagination. It doesn't have penetration in it, but the extreme nature of this torture would, I think, send many women just walking or running out of the theater in disgust, saying, you know, fuck all of you. You know, I'm going home. I mean, I think that would have got it banned, because it's just so nasty.
I think that, well, in theory, the movie is really horrific. And I mean, and just, you know, the depravity and just the crazy shit that they do. But the problem is, it's also poorly executed. Like, you know, the baby that, you know, so the Nazis are rounding up the villagers, and, you know, this woman's clutching her baby, and the Nazis grab it and then throw it up in the air, and then the other guy, and shoots it. And I mean, it's so clearly a fake baby and a fake... If it had some sort of gravitas to it, then it would be actually horrific. Otherwise, it's just kind of comedic.
Yeah, I mean, I can give an example, actually, of a horrifying infant killing. That would be Autobiography of Miss Jane Pittman, and that was a PG movie, or G or something like that. It was one shot. These guys come in to this, where all these slaves are hiding out. One of them has a shotgun, blam, you know, into this infant lying, you know, is wrapped up. Yeah. You just see the cloth and this red, you know, and left nothing to the imagination, really, you know, and it was very quickly done. This is just cheese.
Yeah, all of the shots involving guns, you know, it didn't look like the guns were firing at all.
Yeah, they were firing blanks. Well, they weren't even firing blanks, because there were you had the guy with the machine gun, and there was no bullets coming out, obviously. There was no smoke from the blanks firing. There was no recoil. It was basically, you take a stick, and you were running, when you were a kid, and you're running around on the playground, and that's it.
Yeah, I mean, in some instances, obviously, the things are firing, you know, blanks with fire coming out of the front of the guns, but they're intermittently mixed in.
And then there's the The fighter plane. Oh my god, the glorious fighter plane.
Oh my god, that's so cheesy and bad.
That was such an obvious model. Mm-hmm. On wires.
On wires. Mm-hmm. And then the beast's cage, I mean, looks like it's plywood. I mean, the dude shaking the bars, obviously trying not to shake the bars apart. I mean, this movie is so goddamn cheap. Oh my lordy.
It's caca. There's bits where they do pyrotechnics and the explosion makes things fall apart wrong, because you can tell they pre-staged it to fall apart and somebody goofed.
Then there's the infamous shadow on the giant swastika out front of the castle. The cameraman and his assistant who's moving the camera dolly or whatever, you know, there's this big shadow as the camera pans across this giant red swastika, and it's like
there's a few other little mistakes too.
It gets back to the I want it now, I don't care if it's good, I just want film in the can, we need 300 feet of film a day, boom, done, let's go.
Mr. Ed Wood, the gravestone just fell over.
I thought it was very brave that, in fact, they opened the movie with, speaking of swastikas, the gay swastika.
Purple.
It was very pink. It was pink, very much pink.
Yep, well, definitely pink.
And okay, to be fair, that was just an artifact of the really shitty print that we watched. Yeah. But I liked to, in my mind, like to fantasize, in fact, it's just gay Nazi.
Oh, some of the dialogue was just, oh.
And some of the voice actors.
Oh, the voice actors.
Well, the dubbing in an Italian movie is notoriously bad. Unless you're Dario Argento, you are generally going to get shitty actors doing shitty lines, sounding shitty.
That's... The accents for some of the Americans were just like painful to listen to, but also kind of funny in a weird sort of way. Oh, God, the priest. He fights quite well, surprisingly well for a man of the cloth, but almost all of his dialogue is painful to listen to. And the one line, the what does the church have to do with God? And it's like, oh, what the?
It's a better line than, oh, you're hurting me.
You're hurting me.
Well, there is that, yeah.
It's like, oh, somebody just stepped on my foot, as opposed to, you know, some
ripping
Nazis are
ripping off my fingernails. Yeah, but the priest particularly needed some acting help. Virtually everybody needs acting help, except for
Italian
Charles Bronson. Sometimes the music is good. Sometimes the cinematography was good. There's this one bit with the fight scene, kind of in the lead up to the dramatic battle, where they, right after they did the really crappy stock footage, and the fighting was actually pretty good and quite believable.
That's the thing, a low budget movie does not necessarily instantly equate to terrible movie. There are plenty of low budget movies that overcome their limitations by good writing and solid characters and good storytelling. So the kernel is there.
Oh yeah, yeah.
It's just so sloppily executed on the back end that...
Well, it's like if they just split it apart and made two movies out of this, and had one that's a war movie and the other that's a movie involving
a horror movie,
the beast, it would have, either would have been better, a much better production. Splicing them together like this just seems, well, most people don't use the word slapdash anymore, but very definitely felt slapdash to me.
I think somebody got an idea in their head and they just didn't have the proper time to execute it, and they just took what they had
Even a rush job would have been better if there'd been better writing.
There was writing.
Well, yeah, there was that.
There was a coherent sequence of events that lead from A to B to C.
Yeah. And unlike a few other movies, they actually were coherent and strung together in a way that made sense. It just seems so schizophrenic to me. I liked the kid. He actually pulled one up on the Nazi and grabbed his He was being threatened. They were bullying him, harassing him, threatening him to shoot him. And when the kid gets a moment of a distraction, grabs the Nazi's gun, throws it off the side of the bridge, pew, out of there. That was actually pretty worthy, in my opinion.
And then Italian Charles Bronson steals the bike and rides off into the sunset. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh, and then there was the old lady that stabbed a Nazi.
Oh, yeah, that in was the back.
In the right. back. That was pretty cool.
And then after they gunned her down, she very gently fell to the ground. I'm old, so I can't fall over.
Yeah, that was weak. But up to that, you know, she actually had the cojones to go, hey, this sucks. I'm going to kill me a Nazi. I liked that.
Well, they did their best to up their production value. I think they probably just used the same 15 or 20 people and just tossed them around in the frame 1,000 times. You go over here, you guys go over here, and you
change
find
costume a few times.
Yeah,
yeah. One Nazi is as good as another. They're all like, you know, a cast of 10. Okay, everybody run around. All right, now you're in this scene, now you're in that scene.
No, I wouldn't be surprised if some of the Italians were some of the Nazis.
Oh, yeah, that wouldn't surprise me at all. Take the mustaches off.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
The mustache of power.
Yeah, the one of the main leaders of the resistance, not Charles Bronson, but another guy, has this amazing mustache and one eyebrow.
Yeah, the Avery Shriver sort of looking fella.
Yeah,
and big sideburns. Yeah, it's like, wow, this guy is made completely out of facial hair. But he doesn't have a beard. He was actually moderately impressive. Mm-hmm. Not as good as Charles
Bronson.
Well,
he was the de facto leader of the resistance there. Yeah. The older man, mm-hmm. you know, that takes these youngsters and some of the older people that were older than him and whips them into shape, basically.
Yeah.
And he did a good job. I thought he was good.
Yeah, I liked him.
You know, I don't know if I'd follow him under those circumstances, but, you know.
I wouldn't follow any of these people into a coffee shop, let alone in a battle.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, yeah.
It was, I mean, some of the battle scenes were actually, you know, pretty impressive when they were fighting up on the hill with the broken wall and everything, and you know they cut that with some of the older footage, specifically some of the grenade shots. You know, when they toss these grenades and the people just kept coming. I was thinking, oh yeah, they're probably switching out folks.
Mm-hmm.
Don't rip the uniform because we need it in scene 14C.
Oh, man, we're going to have to get the gaffer tape to fix that one. Crap, where's the gaffer tape? Oh, we're out. Oh, shiest.
I can only imagine how these people felt at the end of production. I feel dirty. I'm going to take a 5-year bath, and that's probably not enough.
Well, it depends on what half of the movie they were in. Were they in the war half or the rape half?
Doesn't matter. Nazis or rape victims. I mean, you know. I mean, take your pick, really. That one. God.
I think some of the people probably wanted longer showers than others. I know I'd probably want to be cleansed again.
So, does The Beast in Heat deserve to be on a Video Nasty list?
Kind of skirting the fence between yay and nay on that for several reasons. One is that there's an extensive amount of rape in this movie that just keeps going and going and going.
Non-stop 40 minutes of rape.
And if you were a woman back in the period when this movie came out, we're not exposed to stuff like YouTube where you just see it every day when you want, you know, that make women lose their shit. You know,
or a woman-friendly man. Which I think I should hope most men would be.
I'm going to go with absolutely deserves to be on the at least
the slap of wrist.
The slap. I would say I would go so far as to prosecute this just because it is so gratuitous. And so, I mean, you got close-ups of people being shocked in their genitalia. You got a gun shoved into a woman's hoo-ha and she's killed that way. You've got, you know, floppy cock all over the place.
You've got fingernails
being torn out. Yeah. I mean, gerbils, attack gerbils. You know, it's just so...
pretending to be rats.
It's just so non-stop nasty.
Yeah, and you've just named some of the other reasons why I think it should go on the nasty list. I mean, the type of torture involved with these women and the gratuitous nature of, you know, the type of situation these people are put in order to perpetuate the idea that you've got this monster that can be created by injecting somebody. And so they bring all these people to pleasure this beast, but they never really go into who the beast was before he was a prisoner.
Is it a Jekyll and Hyde thing that they're doing?
Is he normal when he's not in beast mode? Does he ever get out of beast mode? I mean, the beast in Heat is not seen that often compared to about 60%.
Yeah, the Ilsa knockoff lady.
Yeah. And she was, you know, really something. Oh my god, something.
She's a real piece of work. Complete evil bitch. She even looks like one.
So I think the movie... Okay, so the movie is nonstop gratuitous rape, but I think I would ban this and, like, not something like I Spit on Your Grave, because I Spit on Your Grave is executed with skill. There's an intent to it. There's a story to it. Here, it's just kind
clumsy.
It's just clumsy. It's just gratuitous. It's just bolted on for the sake of titillation, and it doesn't even titillate. So, yes, on the band?
Yeah.
Banned, or at least given a big, bright red warning label.
All right. Yes, all right. Slap on the wrist or a warning label of extreme content.
All right, and I'm going to go full on. Yeah, no, this is not appropriate on many, many levels. Taste on down.
Yeah.
So, what did we think of The Beast in Heat?
It was all right. It wasn't as bad as I thought it was going to be, honestly. Seeing as Italian horror movies tend to be kind of hit or miss.
Right. What did you think?
It's like there's two different movies, and one movie is good and the other movie is utter dreck.
I'm going to go with, I kind of liked it. It's not quite a meh. It's not quite a yay. But it's kind of it was entertaining for the hour and a half. It was... I don't think I'd watch it again. I don't think I'd buy it, but it was fun enough for the hour and a half. All right, so you want to say goodbye to our viewing audience?
Goodbye, viewing audience.
You want to say goodbye? Goodbye, viewing audience.
Bye-bye. And I believe we're done.
We're done.
Are we done?
We're done.
Finito. Amen.
Thank you for joining us as we dissect The Beast in Heat. If you could, take a moment, please like, share, and subscribe, and leave a comment, maybe. And be sure to check back in next week when we take a look at Blood Feast. Oh my god, Blood Feast, it's going to be glorious. Catch you later.